don't even know what to say. Like, I don't know how this narrative that this format isn't powerful got started. I'm speechless. Like, that's a great...
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Orney, and joining me online, as always, Mr. Ethan Hulk Smash Sacks.
Ben, there's one thing about me that's true.
You rage
like
out.
Me. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh, got him. I think the same is probably true for me. I don't know how much you've seen me.
I feel like I know, though, because I see the same, like, reactivity in you that I know that is in myself. And so I feel like I haven't seen it, but I feel like I know what it could be. And I don't think I would like to see it.
So would you say that you have a temper?
Ooh, we're just kicking things off with the hard questions here right off the bat. But I say I have a temper. I think that's a very old-fashioned way of describing what I would say I have. But yes, I have a very, like, there are things that just, like, I go from 0 to 11 about. Like, and a lot of those things I know, and so I'm able to sort of, like, make fun of myself about that extreme reactivity. But yeah, I guess in the common parlance, I have a temper. How about you?
Oh, I definitely do. But I think the worst thing for me as a teacher is that when I rarely get mad at kids. I'm usually in a situation that is making me angry. And oftentimes it's another adult that I'm mad at, but it's very hard for me to switch off my anger. And so, like, I think kids think I'm angry at them, like if I'm dealing with a student when I'm in that uncomfortable spot. But really, I'm mad at this other adult. But I think the kid feels the brunt of my anger, even though it's not actually directed at them. And that is something that I am working on as an educator.
Yes. I feel a similar journey as a parent. Like, sometimes I am angry at Jonah, and then other times I'm angry around Jonah. And that's very, I want to be very clear, like, no, this is something else. This has nothing to do with you, but I do need to work through it myself. Like, I'll be with you in a moment. What's going on in the world of magic right now? We have a new set on the horizon, and it looks great.
It does. I introduced you as Hulk Smash because I was going through the spoiler and I was like, all right, I'm in. Like, the all caps exclamation point on the Hulk Smash card is, it's a little jarring for me.
Yeah.
seeing that on a magic card. But I mean, generally, this format looks like a very sweet set. I mean, we've seen, like, whatever, 60 cards so far, but it seems extremely high synergy to me.
Just a real, I don't know, a real different swing of the pendulum from Secrets of Strixhaven in terms of power level. Like, I'm curious to see if it is, like, I've been really trying to do my due diligence. Normally during preview season, I don't read rares or mythics at all, but I am like, I think I got to stop doing that and start making sure that rares and mythics are integrated into my life cycle and consumption to give me the best picture of the set I can have. And it seems lower power than sets we've seen in the past. And both of those things excite me.
I have not done my due diligence on rares and mythics yet, but I do intend to do my due diligence on rares and mythics before we record the crash course. But I will say almost every uncommon says do X and get rewarded. Like, every uncommon tells you to do a thing. And sometimes it's related to the archetypes. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's tangentially related to the archetypes. It's been very interesting.
I have opinions. I have thoughts. I have takes about which of those do the things will be better than others. I'm curious to get, we'll get a gut check as we talk through those things. But I feel like doing some of our, you know, we have pre-recorded an archetype architecture episode, a part two of that series that we're going to do, you know, throughout the next couple of years for paternity leave. And I feel like that plus the blue red episode we did has me sort of locked in a little bit to, like, what am I looking for that makes a mechanic like this supported? And just sort of what in a mechanic's essence makes it supportable. And so I'm going to bring those takes to the table today, and you can tell me where you're at.
I love it. I also have takes on which color pairs seem good.
Awesome. All right, let's do a little housekeeping and dive into as many previews. And obviously we'll talk about the new mechanics as well for the Marvel set. What is it called? What is this set called?
Marvel heroes?
Is it just Marvel superheroes?
MSH. It's not very catchy.
All right, let's take care of a little housekeeping before we dive into the new mechanics and as many preview cards as we can for Marvel superheroes. Let's talk about the Patreon page, patreon.com/lordsoflimited, is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. This will always be free, but we have some great perks over at the Patreon. One is access to our Discord on weekends like the Arena Limited Championship Qualifier weekends. The Discord is a great place to commiserate, to cheer on. We had some folks qualify this weekend, which was awesome. We had a great little info dump. I was saying to Ben before we recorded that I found your little blurb after your many runs to be very helpful in sort of like calibrating my brain for the drafts. But the Discord is a great community of folks. And moving up the reward tier rankings, you can get access to our podcast feed where you get this episode a day early ad-free. If Monday isn't soon enough for you, if you want the episode on Sunday, you got errands to run, you're mowing your lawn Sunday evening, get the podcast early and then just get it in your listening buds then. And then you can brag to your friends that you already know what's up before Monday. And we also have our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited. So if any or all of that sounds of interest to you, head on over to the Patreon page. And we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. This week, we're welcoming Dovin, John, Mike, Alex, Grim Monolith, Harry, Maxim, and Chad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Truly cannot say thank you enough. How are we feeling about Grim Monolith in Cube these days?
I mean, it's good in artifact decks, but like very specific big artifact decks, combo decks, I would imagine it's good in, like if you're trying to generate a ton of mana.
But like used to be better than Basalt Monolith, right? And I think that is no longer the case.
Well, and used to be in like Legacy Cube days, used to be a top 20 cards in the cube kind of thing. Like you'd be thrilled to pick one of Grim Monolith.
You know what's
and
back though?
What?
Gravy Train, Grim Monolith, turn two, turn three, that Grave Titan.
And just party like it's 2014.
Hell yeah.
I also did want to shout out one of these new patrons. This is a returning patron, a longtime supporter of our show, Mike Stein, won one of the limited championship qualifiers at the Spotlight Series last weekend. So huge shout out to him, and huge shout out too, and we'll link it in our show notes. He wrote up a fantastic tournament report that was like a very great throwback to the kinds of tournament reports that you would read from people like 10, 15 years ago. And it really, I enjoyed it so much just to like live vicariously through him for my 10-minute read. So if anyone is out there interested in doing so, we'll link it for you in the show notes.
It is extremely well-written. Extremely yes. well-written. And I don't say that lightly. I enjoy some good writing from individuals who write in a voice. And Mike had a voice when he was writing this. Like if you felt like you were there with him, like he totally 100% brought you on the journey. I was almost late for teaching lessons the day I was reading it because I woke up and I was scrolling through the Discord and I was like, I'm going to read this. And I just like was, I could not stop reading it.
Immersed. Yeah, an immersive experience. All right. New mechanics for Marvel superheroes. What do we got going on?
First up, we've got Power Up. This is a one-time use ability like Adapt or Exhaust that's going to add +1/+1 counters to a creature and potentially do other things as well. And power-up abilities are reduced by the mana cost of the creature if you cast it and activate the power-up in the same turn. So you can kind of think about it as a split card as well. Like you can cast it for a smaller creature up front and then later activate a very expensive power-up ability. Or late in the game, if you've got 7 mana, 8 mana, whatever the power-up happens to cost, you can just boom, slap it on the battlefield, basically already powered up. That's how you can do the mental math for whether or not you can do casting the creature and the power up in the same turn.
A couple example cards here. We've got Human Torch, Johnny Storm. This is an uncommon. It's 2 and a red for a 2/2 flyer. Whenever you draw a card, if you control another hero, Human Torch. Oh, nope. Okay.
Hero, Human Torch.
Just going to take that again.
No, that was gold. Hero, Human Torch.
Woo. For an example here, we've got Human Torch, Johnny Storm. It's 2 and a red for a 2/2 flyer at uncommon. Whenever you draw a card, if you control another hero, Human Torch deals 1 damage to target opponent. And its power up is 6 and a red. Put 3+1/+1 counters on Human Torch.
Yeah, so this is either a 2 and a red, 2/2 flyer with the text on it about drawing cards, dealing a damage to opponent, or six and a red, like with that six and a red activated ability later in the game, or late in the game, if you've got six and a red, you can just cast it for two and a red. The power up will get reduced by two and a red. You've got four mana left over. You can just immediately power it up in the same turn.
I feel like the sweet spot for these is like two and six, two and five. Where like it's really like a Sora form hybrid kind of deal where you're like good on turn two and then good on turn whatever. The 3 and 7 or 4 and 8 kind of splits that happen, it feels like it's very rarely going to be you will play it and power it up in the same turn. Like,
yeah, it'll just be a better late game top deck.
As late as the game goes. I wonder if cards like these, if power up will just inherently lower your curve. Like, are you just going to be so much less prone to put 5 drops, 6 drops, 7 drops in your deck if you've got a handful of power up cards instead?
Maybe. I mean, this is definitely one of Red Green's headliner mechanics, and the cards look pushed so far mm-hmm. that have power up.
Three mana for a 2/2 flyer or 7 mana for a 5/5 flyer. Neither of those are good cards.
I agree. This is not one I'm particularly excited about.
Yeah, okay.
We've also got Kang the Conqueror here. This is 2 blue-blue for a mythic rare. This is a 4/5 flying human villain, and that does matter. Heroes and villains matter in this format.
That's right.
So it's 4/5 flyer with power up for 5 blue-blue-blue, and you put a +1/+1 counter on Kang and take an extra turn after this one. During that turn, power up abilities can't be activated.
Interesting. Oh, I guess so you can't like then play another Kang and chain them together.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that card is very good. I mean, it's mostly just good as a 4-mana 4/5 flyer that is going to threaten to win you the game if you get to 8 mana.
Yeah, but just noting that one of the ones that is a +1/+1 counter plus an ability, and you're always with power ups going to get a +1/+1 counter so that you can easily track has this been powered up or not.
Next, we have Teamwork, which is an optional additional cost on instants and sorceries in the set to add extra effects paid by tapping any number of creatures with total power equal to or greater than the teamwork cost. So if it's like teamwork 4, you could tap 2 2-powered creatures or 1 4-powered creature or 1 5-powered creature for teamwork 4, whatever. As long as it meets the threshold, it can exceed it.
And we've got the titular card of the episode here, Hulk Smash. 1 and a red for an instant with teamwork 4. You choose one. If the spell was cast using teamwork, choose both instead. So you've got destroy target non-creature artifact or target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature and opponent controls.
Okay, so red's getting a little bite spell here at instant speed with some upside of destroying non-creature artifacts. There's also a tapped creature thing going on here, right?
Yeah, I think blue-white cares about creatures being tapped, untapped.
Okay.
That sort of thing. I mean, blue-white is headlined as teamwork. We're going to take a look at all those archetypes in just a second.
Okay.
We've also got plan, which is a new enchantment subtype that has triggered abilities to tell you what to do to advance the plan. What good's having villains if they don't have a master plan to take over the world? So when you trigger the ability, you're going to add a plan counter to the enchantment and get a minor bonus. And then eventually you're going to finish plans by putting a specified number of plan counters on it, like when you hit counter number 4, when you hit counter number 5. And it's not always necessarily the same. Some plans are more complicated than others. You get to sacrifice that plan and get an even bigger reward at the end of bringing your plan to fruition, as it were.
So, for example, we've got a rare here, Doom Reigns Supreme. It's 1 and a black for an enchantment plan. Whenever a villain you control enters, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life and put a plan counter on this enchantment. When the 5th plan counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it. When you do, target opponent exiles the top 5 cards of their library. You may cast up to 2 spells from among the exiled cards without paying their mana cost.
I mean, we should talk about plans, I think. In their entirety, there's 5 of them that have so far at uncommon.
Well, yeah. Yes. We're going to talk about all of them, right? I mean, we can.
Yeah. I mean, this is by far the most interesting new thing, I think.
I do think villains will be plentiful, and I am much more interested in the ones that I can control doing. And it's nice that, like, this is cheap so that this could be your turn 2 play and then subsequently all the villains. Like, it's a really powerful payoff. And it helps you kind of survive along the way. I think this is pretty good. I would give this a B.
Like these seem similar to the Oh, was it Zendikar that had the things?
Oh yeah, the artifacts. There were amulets maybe, but they relics. They were relics. But those were good cards though, and they were like signals in draft that archetype might be open.
The jury's out for me on Doom Reign Supreme for how good it is. Five is a lot. Five villains. I mean, your deck basically has to be entirely villains before you're interested in this.
Correct. Yeah. I think so. Okay, maybe you're talking me down a little bit, but it seems very powerful. The white uncommon is Political Triumph. It's single white. Whenever a creature you control enters, scry one and put a planned counter on this enchantment. When the fourth planned counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it, draw a card, and put a +/+1 counter on each creature you control.
I mean, this is absurd on turn one.
Yeah.
Fairly easy to fit in early in the game in your curve. And again, a terrible late game draw.
The reverse of playing it on turn one is so good.
It's insane on turn one. Like, totally nutter butters.
This card seems great to me.
Does it? I'm so worried about the cost.
You're like me now. This is how I always am. Why are you only thinking about worst case scenario?
Because the worst case scenario is really bad. And there's been a lot of, like, I think you're already putting this narrative out there. And I feel like this narrative was in the Discord of this format is low powered. And I don't see that. Like, I think individual cards might be lower powered, but I think you were going to be doing some busted synergistic stuff. And I think there's less risky ways to go after it than plans. Like, there's a bunch of cards, like 50 cards in the uncommons that say, do a thing, get this reward. Mm-hmm. And I think the plans are the most, like, flashing neon sign of, hey, do this thing. But their reward doesn't seem to match up, at least so far, with these two. Is this nuts when it goes exactly right? Yes. I mean, and maybe that's kind of the thing with plans. Like, plans are easily foiled by the superheroes, but if the villain does do their plan, like, it's going to be real good.
Are there any of these that you are excited about, or are you skeptical of plans in general?
I think I'm skeptical in general, but I'm interested in going through them with you.
Okay.
So next up, we've got Rewrite History, which is the blue one. Two and a blue for an enchantment plan. When one or more creatures you control become tapped, draw a card, then discard a card and put a plan counter on this enchantment. When the fourth plan counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it. When you do, return up to two target instant or sorcery cards from your graveyard to your hand.
This one I don't love.
Interesting. I like this one better.
So the things that I'm worried about is the tension between it wanting you to have creatures and instants and sorceries.
That's a good show.
It's a tough balance to strike in limited.
But you do have the rummaging to help you find all those. This one is by far the best whenever you draw it and fit it into your curve. Sure. Especially in blue-white, like if you're teamworking and you have the ability to tap, untap your creatures and do tricky things like that.
Oh, but you can't. I was thinking that you could like top deck this, and if you had four creatures,
turbo
you could just.
Out. No, you can't. Still have to wait over four turns, yeah. It's still not a great top deck.
Well, it doesn't have to be four turns. It could be an attack step. It could be
a
tapped activation. It could be teamwork. Like, there are other ways to do it in a turn cycle. But yeah, Robot Domination is the black uncommon. It's three and a black for an enchantment plan. Whenever one or more creature cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, you draw a card, lose a life, and put a planned counter on this enchantment. When the third planned counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it and create 3/2/2 colorless robot villain artifact creature tokens.
This one is nuts, right? This one's just good.
This one is just good if there is self-mill.
There's Connive. It's from anywhere.
The thing about Connive is that you don't actually want to discard creatures. You want to play creatures from your hand. Now, I guess discarding a creature here does replace itself because you draw the card.
But you discard a creature to draw two cards.
To draw two cards, yeah. And put a +/+1 counter on your creature.
This one is good. I feel quite confident that this is the best one we've seen so far.
You think the support is there for this? Like, that's the thing that matters. It can't just be creatures dying on the battlefield.
I mean, we're going to take a look at the black-green uncommon, and the black-green uncommon is insane. So,
I agree.
I mean, that already gives me hope right there, like, because we've talked about how important the signposts are. But we've seen a third of the set, maybe, or something, a fourth of the set. So it's impossible for me to answer that question. But let's assume things work for the format.
If things work, if there's like if green gets a self-mill card and black gets a self-mill card and Connive is prevalent, this card rules.
Yeah. And lastly, we've got Claim the Kingdom here. One and a green for an uncommon with landfall. Whenever a land you control enters, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control and a plan counter on this enchantment. When the fourth plan counter is put on this enchantment, sacrifice it. When you do, put an indestructible counter on target creature you control.
This card is great, I think.
Just ride the shoopoof.
Yeah, right.
Except you don't get an 8/8 at the end of it.
Right, you don't get an 8/8, but you do get an indestructible thing. I guess, like, there is a kind of awkward thing about, like, as the opponent facing this, you can see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have an instant speed removal spell that lines up well, you can snipe the creature out from under the indestructible counter.
Or you could try to time it out as the person with Claim the Kingdom if there's, like, Evolving Wilds or whatever, throw your opponent off the game.
Someone was saying that you get five counters with this. If your fourth land is Evolving Wilds, with the trigger on the stack, sack Evolving Wilds.
Oh, yeah.
Get an extra +1/+1 counter. So we already got the tech. And we skipped over the red one, which is Death to Our Enemies. Two in a red, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, create a tapped treasure token and put a plan counter on this enchantment. When the fourth plan counter is put on this enchantment, sack it. When you do, it deals 7 damage divided as you choose among one or two targets. This is the one I'm most excited about. You get a rebate. I mean, a delayed rebate, but a rebate on your spells because you're getting a tapped treasure for every spell you play. And then this is a pretty nice payoff.
Yeah, this one's good also. This one requires, I think, more building around than the black one, but both of them have extremely high payoffs.
You think stocking your deck full of non-creature spells is more of a payoff than having to get creatures in your graveyard incidentally?
I don't think any of the archetypes are like Strixhaven, where you're going to be running a 20-spell deck or whatever. None of the archetypes are built that way.
When I've got two Death to Our Enemies, you better believe that's exactly how I'm building my deck.
Okay.
All right, and then we've alluded to it. A returning mechanic is back called Connive that lets you loot, and then you put a +1/+1 counter on the creature if you discard a non-land card. So we've got Kang, Temporal Tyrant, which is a uncommon 2BB for a 3/4. Whenever he attacks, he connives. And whenever you draw your second card each turn, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life.
That's pretty nice text.
I think that's the scuttle that you're referencing of, like, this is a low powered set or the cards look underpowered, is that almost none of the signposts are ETBs. They're almost all just, like, you know, big things like this. It's like, this might accrue some value over turns, but it's a 4-mana 3/4. It's not, that's nothing exciting. Now, if everything is calibrated to that level, sign me up. But if it's like most stuff is like this, and then there's a handful of cards that are busted, and then the format just becomes about those busted cards, I will be less excited.
I think there are some single colored uncommons that are pretty broken in half.
Okay, great.
Coming up soon, coming to a draft table near you. MDFC is also back, Modal Double Face cards. And then this is not a mechanic. And I initially had a very negative reaction to this card initially. And then I was like, no, I think I'm wrong here. I think this is a cool card. This is Mjolnir, Hammer of Thor. Am I saying that right?
You're asking the wrong. I'm not. We need to get an expert. We need to get a Marvel expert on the show.
Okay, we're going
to
go with Mjolnir, Hammer of Thor for now. 3 and a red, mythic, rare, legendary artifact equipment. When Mjolnir enters, it deals 4 damage to up to 1 target creature. Double all damage a crypt creature would deal. And then it says, equip worthy 1. A creature is worthy if it's a legendary non-villain that's red and or white. And then also has the ability, 2 and a red, discard this card. It deals 2 damage to each creature. And at first I was like, oh, this feels very shoehorned for Marvel. Like, why are they doing this? No, 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 no. Big grumpy old man yells at clouds. And then I read it again and I was like, no, this is good. Like, I know exactly what this card does. It's very flavorful. It's a very top-down design. I'm like, I need to check myself.
All right, well, let's check ourselves on over to the signposts here. Blue-white, as you said, is teamwork. Call on your team to supercharge your instants and sorceries. Find ways to untap those creatures, and they'll be available for offense, strategic tap abilities, and protection.
There we go. Nailed it. I love it.
Thank you. Right out the gate. So we've got Captain America, Living Legend. It's 1 white blue for a 3/4 legendary creature, human soldier hero. It's got vigilance. Whenever a creature you control becomes tapped during your turn, if it's the first time that creature has become tapped this turn, untap it. So sort of face up, it gives all your team vigilance, but also some sneaky stuff where if you've got activated abilities, you can activate them and then still be available for attacking as well.
Correct. And also teamwork, like you can teamwork main phase and then still attack in combat. This card, I think, is very well statted also. I mean, three mana, three, four
vigilance is just great.
Yeah. So, I mean, this seems powerful to me.
Yeah, like a B minus.
I would go B, I think.
A B? All right, great. You are a contrarian.
It's not that I'm a contrarian. I just...
You can't even agree with that.
I can't even agree with that. I can't help it that people are wrong around me a lot. We've also got a cycle of hybrid uncommons. Mm. So we've got Spider-Woman, Secret Agent. This is 3 and an Azorius mana for a 1/4 uncommon with flash. When Spider-Woman enters, tap target creature an opponent controls. That creature can't become untapped for as long as you control Spider-Woman.
So like a much worse Fiend Hunter. And this has the upside of like being able to ambush something too.
As a 1-powered blocker.
Could ambush a 2-1 or a 3-1? That's never happened before.
Sure, could.
Plus lock something down. I don't know. This card seems fine.
Less good than Captain America.
Sure. If I have to pit them up against each other.
Yeah, that's what this is about. Competition, baby.
All right.
Blue-black, draw your second card is up next. Be the calculating mastermind and draw 2 or more cards in a turn. While extra cards are good on their own, clever use of connive will magnify your rewards.
I do like a draw two theme for blue-black.
It's what the color pair naturally wants to do anyway, is make the game go long, draw some cards, kill your stuff, connive.
Kang Temporal Tyrant, the card we read as the example for connive, is the only previewed blue-black signpost.
But also nice that connive is a mechanic where in a format where draw your second card is paying you off for doing things in blue-black, allegedly.
Correct. Red-black is villains matter. More villains mean more chaos. Keep adding villains to the battlefield and overwhelm your adversaries with the unified power of pure evil.
We've got our signpost uncommon here. Madam Hydra. This is 2 black-red for an uncommon 2/3 human villain. And whenever you cast a villain spell, create a 2/1 black villain creature token with menace.
This is terrible.
Terrible?
This is terrible.
Terrible has been called.
This does not meet a power level threshold in 2026. 4 mana, 2/3. True, do nothing.
But until you untap. Lives. I think that's a good take. Red-green power-up is up next. Hit hard with great feats of strength. Generate extra lands and mana to bring out the might of your creatures with their power-up abilities. So we've got Hulk Gamma Goliath here as the signpost. This is 3 red-green for a 6/5 uncommon hero. With reach, trample, power-up abilities of other creatures you control cost 3 less to activate. And it's got power-up itself for 6 red-green. Put 5+1/+1 counters on Hulk.
I mean, at least this is... So a 5-mana 6/5 reach trample is just a big boy. The power-up is expensive. But again, that if you untap and then play a power-up creature that has a... Whatever, its power ability is 7 or 8 mana, you're just going to be able to do it in one shot.
This is a scary card. Like, this is also big enough to survive. I think this is going to depend... how good this is based on how well the common removal lines up against it.
The hybrid Gruul card is Abomination, Terrifying Titan. It's 3 and red-green hybrid for a 4/4 trample, and its power-up is 5 hybrid. Put a ++1 counter on Abomination. He fights up to 1 target creature and opponent controls. Love this card. I mean, again, you can sort of see it coming, but what we haven't talked about with power-up is there is a threat of activation, too, about this, where, like, you don't have to do it. Like, if you suspect your opponent is trying to, like, kill your thing because you're going to go power up, you could not do it, you know?
Right. And they could have easily made power up sorcery speed only. Right. This is instant speed. Like, again, this is a great Magic the Gathering card here.
It's powerful. It's powerful, for sure. Green-white is Heroes Matter. Assemble as many heroes as you can. Go wide with a full roster of fearless fighters and defend the world against any threat. Our signpost is Black Panther Vanguard. It's 2 green-white for a 4/4 Whenever another non-token hero you control enters, choose one. Create a 1/1 white soldier creature token, or creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn.
This is fine.
This is fine. I mean, at least this, unlike Madam whatever, it's a 4-mana 4/4 that still says, hey, you got to untap. Hey, you got to play creatures with a specific type and you'll get a bonus. But at least this is a 4-mana 4/4 This is good, probably.
Yeah, fine plus.
Mm-hmm.
White-black attack alone is up next. Send your best operative on a stealthy mission to attack alone, backed up by a support team that's ready to defend you as well. So our signpost here, we've got Black Widow, double agent, one white black for an uncommon 3/2 death touch, a hero and a villain.
Double agent, baby.
And death touch, whenever a creature you control attacks alone, it gains first strike and menace until end of turn. So basically, if she is the attacker alone, largely unblockable.
Yeah.
Because of first strike, menace, and death touch. Yeah.
Yeah. But also nice that you go like 2-drop into Black Widow and...
And then the 2-drop is unblockable, yeah.
Right.
This again, this card seems great to me.
This card seems great, and I think the other black-white signpost, though it's hybrid, so anyone can snap it up, seems great to me. It's U.S. agent John Walker. It's 3 in Orzhov hybrid for a 3/2. When it enters, you make a colorless equipment artifact token named Sturdy Shield with equipped creature gets +1/+2 and an equip cost of 2, and you attach it to U.S. agent. So it comes in as a 4-mana 4/4, dies into an equipment.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm very excited. Red-black, not so much, but the white-black signposts, very excited about.
Yes, yes, yes. Next up, we've got blue-red artifacts. A steady stream of artifacts allows you to invent your way out of impossible odds. Spend treasures to fund your more advanced research projects.
Just going to go out on a limb and guess that blue-red artifacts is what you're most excited about.
I mean... You caught me. We've got our signpost here. Iron Man, Master of Machines. This is 2 blue-red for a 1/4 uncommon with flying and vigilance. Iron Man gets +1/+0 for each other artifact you control. Whenever Iron Man attacks, if an artifact entered the battlefield under your control this turn, draw a card.
That's nice. And he himself is an artifact.
He himself is an artifact. Like, this is the total package. Also, Iron Man is just the coolest of the Marvel superheroes, right? I mean, Tony Stark.
Sure. Yes.
He and I share some qualities. Self-confidence, let's say.
Green, black, appropriately. Creatures in graveyard. Your fallen forces didn't die in vain. Reclaim their power with a vengeance. Make more potent plays while there are 2 or more creature cards in your graveyard. So we've got Killmonger, Scourge of Wakanda, 2 black-green for a 3/3. When he enters, you may sacrifice another creature. When you do, destroy target non-land permanent and opponent controls. And as long as there are 2 or more creature cards in your graveyard, Killmonger gets +2/+1. This card rules, right?
Yeah, that card's extremely pushed. We've also got Titania, Rugged Rumbler, 2 and Golgari for a 5/5 uncommon. It's a villain. As an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card or pay 2. And then it has Ward, discard a card or pay 2.
So potentially a way to get a creature in your graveyard? But like, are you ever going to want to discard a card for this?
Maybe. It just depends on if there's like cheap death touchers running around. Getting a 3-mana 5/5 out ahead of schedule that has your opponent have to do at least the same thing that you did. It kind of depends on how the removal lines up against it. I'm generally not too excited about that.
Ward 2 is annoying.
Well, but if you've got, for example, like let's say you did the 3-mana 5/5 discard a card, though, and there's like a Bone Splinters variant in the format that your opponent can answer it by sacking a 1/1 or whatever. I mean, I don't know. Just depends on how much the removal lines up against it to me.
I think also depends just like how interested are you going to be in discarding a card? Because otherwise this is just a 5-mana 5/5 with Ward 2.
Correct, which is not great. But can we zoom out for a second and just talk about two or more creature cards in a graveyard?
How does that
hit you as far as the green black graveyard stuff variants through the years?
It is entirely going to live or die by how much self mill is in the format.
But 2 seems like such a low threshold that I don't expect there to be tons of self mill support. You know what I mean? My guess is that they're going to think, well, stuff's just going to die, or you can connive. Like 2's fairly achievable to get to.
The less control you have over it, the less excited I am about it. And I guess also what how much exile removal is in the format also matters. Like,
sure.
So that's what I say. Like, the more, and maybe if it's just, maybe Connive is enough, but historically Surveil has not been enough to enable these things. So like the sort of one-off, like you really need the burst self-mill to be able to make this stuff work. Maybe you're right that two is such a low threshold that that makes self-mill not, but even if it's just mill one, like if it's just something around that helps you get cards in your graveyard incidentally, I will be more excited about this.
If I have to put you on the spot just with that tagline and seeing the gold uncommons, you say it works, yes or no?
This is so hard because I want it to work every time.
I mean, I'm saying yes because I think
Killmonger is
head and shoulders above the rest of the gold uncommons so far.
It is the best on, right? When I was looking through them the other day, I was like, this seems like a full gradation, two gradations ahead of the rest of the pack.
Yeah, it's very strong.
Next up, we've got red-white non-creature spells. Arrive on the scene quickly with creatures and then back them up with blasty instants and sorceries and crafty artifacts and enchantments. Look for key moments to turn the tables on your foes.
Do you think somebody is feeling good about blasty and crafty and just thinking, yes, I nailed it with that tagline?
I guess I hope they do. I want people to feel good about the work they do. Thor Odinson is 3 red-white for a 4/4 legendary creature, god, warrior, hero. It has flying, vigilance, and prowess.
I got to make sure you said Odin's son, right?
Oh, Odin's son.
Son of Odin.
Son of Odin. Odin's son. Yes. Thank you.
There we go. I got to save you from the internet
I said Odinson like he lived down the street from me. Oh, yeah. Those are the Odinsons down there. They're new to the neighborhood. Okay, so I'm really excited about this. I don't know if it's going to be good, but like heroic basically is the theme here with, you know, things caring about being targeted themselves. Like it's sort of repartee, but just for your own stuff. And the you know, enchantments and equipment. I'm excited about this.
This is the biggest, baddest thing on the battlefield if it's not facing down black removal spells or blue bounce spells. I mean, if Sarah Angel can hang... This is a juiced Sarah Angel.
Yes, very juiced.
Lastly, we've got blue-green +1/+1 counters. Adjust and adapt to every situation. Keep evolving creatures by adding counters to your cards or by using their own power-up abilities.
Okay.
First up here, we've got Ant-Man Colony Commander. This is the signpost. 1 green-blue for an uncommon 2/2 hero. Whenever Ant-Man attacks, you may pay 1. When you do, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Whenever you put a +1/+1 counter on a creature, create a 1/1 green insect creature token. This ability triggers only once each turn.
The other one is Beast Erudite Aerialist. This is 3 and Simic Hybrid for a 3/3. As long as you've put 1 or more +1/+1 counters on Beast this turn, he has flying. And whenever Beast deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. I also don't love this card.
Yeah, I mean...
4 mana 3/3. I mean, at least Ant-Man like sort of is like, hey, I can do the thing too. But like the problem with Ant-Man is that, because we should talk about it, we're both sort of like, I don't love this card. Let's move on. I'm not to say why I don't love Ant-Man is that it's a 3 mana 2/2, which is understated. It's not going to be able to engage in blocks that turn cycle. So then you have to untap. Then you have to attack. You're attacking with it as a 3 mana 2/2. Sure, you can pay 1. So that's extra mana you're having to put into this. When you do, you can put a +1/+1 counter on a creature. Ostensibly, it's going to have to be Ant-Man because... otherwise, it's just going to trade off with some 2/2. It's probably going to trade off anyway, which is the problem. And so then you're just trading this off with something. And after 4 mana, you're left with a 1/1.
Both of the blue-green cards are saying, do the thing, but do a lot of work to do the thing and a very minor payoff compared to Killmonger, which says, I'm hanging, potentially am above rate as a 5 mana or 5/4 for 4 mana. And also... I'm blowing up your opponent's best thing and helping you get a creature in the graveyard to hit our mechanic. Like
check, 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 check.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at the handful of commons that we have. Or do you want to stop right now and tell us what are the best colors and color pairs?
I have no idea. No. I don't have that many hard feelings.
All right. We've got Murdoch's Crusade, which is 1 and a white for a sorcery. It's got teamwork 4. Choose 1 if the spell was cast using teamwork. Choose both instead. There's Street Justice, exile target creature with toughness 4 or greater. and legal justice, exile target enchantment with mana value 4 or greater. So this foils the plans, or some of the plans, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cute.
The black plan. Maybe that's the only one. Because the red one is 3, the blue one is 3, the white one is 1. So I guess it really doesn't foil many of the plans.
For whatever reason, the art on this card is also jarring to me as far as Magic the Gathering cards go. Like, I was like, ooh, but it's also so iconic. Like, the red glasses for Daredevil, like, it's such a, like, I think that's partially why it's jarring, because of how iconic those glasses are and how realistic they look in the art.
Yeah.
This card is fine. It's not great, not terrible.
Yeah.
You're not a high pick. It is whatever. Truly, as far, it will not be one of the 10 commons that matter in the format.
This next one might be.
AIM Scientists. 3 and a blue, 3/3. When it enters, it connives. It's got basic land cycling 2. Puts a creature in the graveyard for land cycling.
And finds any basic?
Oh, it's basic, not basic. Island cycling.
Basic Ooh. Land cycling. Like, doesn't black green just snap this up?
Yeah, I didn't snag that was basic land cycling.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to just matter. We've got Hydra Troopers. This is 2 and a black for a 3/2. When this creature enters, create a tapped 2/1 black villain creature token with menace if there are 2 or more creature cards in your graveyard. Otherwise, ding, 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 mill 2 cards. Let's go.
This card is pushed also, right?
This card's just good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's either it's enabling your other stuff, or if it's already enabled, you get a 3/2 and a 2/1 with a menace.
2/1 menace, yeah. For 3
That's
mana.
For 3 common. Mana at common. That is, like, the narrative for this format, I just don't even know what to say. Like, I don't know how this narrative that this format isn't powerful got started. Speechless. Like, that's a great Magic the Gathering card.
Ben is calling fake news on the takes right now. Next, we've got Roxxon Brutes. 4 and a black for a 4/4 menace. Whenever you draw your second card each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. And it's got basic land cycling. This is a cycle?
Apparently, this is a cycle.
Oh, my God.
This one is fine again. I think this one's better than the blue one.
5 mana, 4/4 menace. Oh, I like blue getting you a connive trigger and triggering your draw 2 stuff for blue-black.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the black one's going to be better in black-green, for example, than blue-black.
And connive plays in the blue-green space, too.
Because of +1/+1 counters.
Counter on stuff, so then you could get a 1/1 if Ant-Man is out.
I mean, based on those uncommons, do we think blue-green's actually going to be an archetype?
Wow. This is what I'm talking about. So you do have thoughts about...
I mean, I have some feelings, I guess, yeah. You put me on the spot and I laid it out there.
I'm more excited about this as a basic land cycler and as a, like, a creature that can put itself in the yard for some value. If this is a cycle, is this going to be soupy soupy again? If you've got a cycle of basic land cycling commons...
It's not soupy. It's synergistic. This format is so synergistic, and it's going to be such a breath of fresh air to have 10 color pairs and some feel it out yourself synergy format after the last 3 Magic the Gathering sets that we have had.
He said,
and I use that term loosely. Yeah.
All right. What's going on with Go Nuts?
This is also extremely pushed for common. This is green sorcery. Teamwork 3, choose 1, and if you did the teamwork cost, you get both. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. Target creature you control fights target creature and opponent controls.
You're never going to do green, put a counter on a creature. So it's either prey upon, green fight, or green plus on teamwork 3, hunt the weak.
It's so tempo positive. On turn 4, you play a 3 drop, a 3 mana, 3/3. You go nuts on it, turn it into a 4/4, tap it as the teamwork 3, kill your opponent's thing, attack, and then you've got an above. Like, this is so juiced.
Yeah, this card is great. This is also a common that will matter, I would imagine.
And I would just like it to be noted that this is a green card that I said positive things about before the set releases.
and we're excited about black-green? We love green on this podcast. What are you talking about? All right. You were alluding to maybe people talking about the power level being low. got some busted uncommons here to talk about.
Yeah, these are, it was so hard for this show notes to put stuff in categories because there were so many, like, do this thing, no, do this thing, no, do this thing, no, do this thing. So I just tried to pick out some of the cards that I thought were head and shoulders above the others to take a look at, and some unique do a thing type cards. But usually we can like categorize cards easily, and it was difficult to do here.
Here's removal. Here's like some throwbacks or like variations on a theme. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of, I think that's the legendary aspect of things. And we should have said at the top, I'm sure you're delighted to know, Ben, no legendary is at common.
No legendary is common, but every uncommon creature is a legendary to make up for it.
That's what it was like in Final Fantasy, though.
Yeah.
That was better. Yeah.
All right. First up here, we've got Agent 13, Sharon Carter. 2 and a white for a 3/2 uncommon hero. When a creature you control attacks alone, investigate. That is a clue token. And this is whenever a creature attacks. So you're going to be able to go 2-drop into Agent 13, attack with your 2-drop, make a clue, and your opponent is horrifically far behind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this card is amazing. We've got Agent Maria Hill. Single white for a 2/1. Whenever Agent Maria Hill becomes tapped to pay a teamwork cost, put a +1/+1 counter on her and draw a card.
This is also absurd.
I don't know how much teamwork, how many teamwork cards are going to be. Like the teamwork cards we've seen so far, the green one, obviously great. But like the Murdoch's glasses and the red bite spells, those were fine.
But there's a, like blue-white is called blue-white teamwork. I mean, correct. If blue-white is a teamwork deck, this is broken in that deck.
Yeah. And especially because if there are instants with teamwork, like the fact that you get to be like, I'll leave my creature up on blocks and you don't even know if, yes, I could have something to do, but you don't even know if once I block, then I could do a teamwork cost to grow this creature.
Yeah. Well, I mean, white's uncommons looked so good to me when I was looking through, looking through the previews, but also this is the type of card, and it's been a second, but if there are 10 color pairs and you carve out blue white as the space for yourself, this is absolutely premium for your deck and nobody else is going to want it.
Feels like you think it's a secret blue white gold card effectively.
I mean, that would be my current take. Maybe it's just great because there's teamwork cards running around in white.
Mm-hmm.
But that is an extremely good magic card for a single mana.
Yes.
Next up, we've got Colleen Wing, Street Samurai. This is 1 and a white for a 2/2 uncommon. Whenever you cast a spell that targets a creature you control, put a +1/+1 counter on Colleen Wing. Scry 1.
Okay, so this is that like red-white payoff thing where you're trying like the heroic stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
And this is less good than the other two, but
yeah,
still extremely good.
Okay, next up we have Okoy, Dora Milaje Leader. It's 3 and a white for a 3/2. When it enters, create 2 1/1 white soldier creature tokens. Attacking creature tokens you control have first strike. Is it good enough when it makes 2 1/1s?
I mean, I think
Eager Glyph Mage, move over.
This card seems extremely good to me. This is army in a can.
It's an army in a can for sure. Yeah, the 2 1/1s is nothing to sneeze at. I can't imagine that them having first strike on attacks matters that much, but
well, it might in red white if you're playing tricks to pump power or something.
Yeah, that's true. And it works really nicely with the like go wide theme that green white seems to want to do.
Yeah, that seems extremely strong to me. Next up, we've got Iron Lad, Diverging Destiny. This is 2 and a blue for a 2/2 flying vigilance artifact creature that's a hero. You can look at the top card of your library at any time, and you can tap, reveal the top card of your library. If it's an artifact card, draw a card. Like, this is what I mean comparing to the plans or something, right? Like, if you're blue-red artifacts, you're paying 3 mana for a 2/2 flying vigilance, and this has attacks in the air with vigilance, and then you can tap, draw a card if you've got an artifact on top of your library.
That seems amazing.
You're drawing, what, like, 2/3 of a card every turn or half a card every turn or something?
Yeah, I mean, if you are able to meet what the deck is telling you to do, which is like have 15 plus artifacts in your deck, then yeah, that's awesome. We've got Khazar of the Savage Land, 4 and a green for a 3/2. What?
No, I'm just shaking my head at how stupid this card is.
Yes, this is a 3/2 that says you may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may play lands from the top of your library. Oh, sorry. By the way, when this enters, create Zabu, a legendary 2/2 green cat creature token with landfall. Put a +1/+1 counter on Zabu. So this is 5 mana for a 3/2 plus a 2/2 that grows plus its Oracle of Moldiah. I mean, yes, you don't get to play multiple lands a turn, but you get to play lands off the top of your library.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this card's very good.
Which also makes me excited for black green. Like, it's green has seen several of the best cards we've seen previewed so far.
Mm-hmm. And there's another one coming up.
We've got White Tiger Ava Ayala. This is 1 and a green for a 2/2 uncommon with power up 5 and a green. Put a +1/+1 counter on White Tiger and create the Tiger God, a legendary 4/4 green cat god that can't be blocked by more than one creature.
Yeah, so like great to have a 2 mana 2/2 and then 6 mana. It's a 3/3 plus a 4/4.
Or you can just cast it on 6 as a 3/3 plus a 4/4.
All right, let's look at some of the build around type cards. We've got Moonstone Harsh Mistress. 3 and a black for a 2/4 flyer. Whenever you discard a card, you may exile that card from your graveyard. If you do, until the end of your next turn, you may play that card. Okay, so this is a connive payoff.
A connive payoff, but a very cool connive payoff.
Yeah, it is. It is a 4 mana 2/4 flyer.
But if you untap with it.
That's going to be the... I feel like that's the theme of a lot of the cards in the set. Is if I untap with it. I'm very curious to see what the removal suite is like in the format.
And we haven't seen much of it so far. I mean, I didn't pull out the cards because they were fairly stock. But there was like a 1 in a black instant. Something gets -4/-4.
That's the most juiced one for sure. That's an uncommon kill spell. I'm more curious to see what the common removal is.
I'm sure it will all be in the 10 commons that matter list based on how many creatures we've seen that have. Please don't let me untap with this. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
We've got Misty Knight Hero for Hire next. This is 1 in a red for a 3/1 uncommon hero. It's got 2 tap, discard a card, draw a card for each card you've discarded this turn.
It's a cool card. So like Connive, the Land Cyclers. If you do that in the turn that you also activate this, you will draw an extra card. So this is going to draw you an extra card. Like, I don't know. How many times did you end up casting Reanimate in the last set? I'd put the line at about that with how often this one activated to net you cards.
I'm going to say this is great.
Okay. Punishing Punch is 2 and a green for an instant. The spell costs 2 less to cast if there are 2 or more creature cards in your graveyard. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power. To twice its power to target creature and opponent controls. This is an instant.
Instant. That's going to be single green in green black. I mean, that's pushed and just very clearly asking you to please do the thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
Last one is Tigra Feline Fury. This is 1 and a green for an uncommon 2/1 flash trample. Whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on Tigra.
Have we seen much life gain?
We have not.
Okay. You gotta have 2 instances of life gain before I'm excited about this. This has to have 3 toughness.
I agree, but and this is one that doesn't line up with the format's themes, but it's still like, please do this thing printed on me. Like, it's just everywhere in the format.
For sure. All right, we got a long list here. It's time for Greater Garbage, where the rules are pretty simple. They're in the title. We're gonna read a card and we're gonna have to assign a value of either great or garbage, nothing in between. First up is Avengers Tower. This is a land at uncommon. It taps for colorless. It can also tap to add 1 mana of any color. Spend this mana only to cast a hero spell or to activate an ability of a hero source. And you could pay 4 tap, look at the top 3 cards of your library. You may reveal a hero card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
They've kind of got me on one of these uncommon lands.
Well, you know, this reminds me of, what was it called? Bucolic Ranch from OTJ. Let me look this up. This was the exact same card. Actually, much worse. Sorry. Taps for colorless. Taps out a mana of any color spent only to cast a mount. 3 tap, look at the top card of your library. If it's a mount, reveal it. If you don't, you can put it on the bottom of your library. This lets you look at the top 3 cards to reveal a hero, and heroes are much more prevalent than mounts were. And Bucolic Ranch, was not bad. in that format. I think I'm going to go great on Avengers Tower.
I also think I'm going great on Avengers Tower. Like, everything is either a hero or a villain.
Yeah. Sometimes both.
Sometimes both. Next up, we've got Baxter Building. This is another land, taps for colorless, and it's got four tap, add four mana and any combination of colors. It's also got four tap, draw a card, activate only if you control a creature with toughness four or greater.
Man, I really hope there's like an Omnath or something, like a real reason to like, let me scoop up a couple Baxter Buildings and then just go to town with my mana base.
This one is less good than Avengers Tower, I think.
I would say garbage on Baxter Building.
If I'm being honest, I would also say garbage, but my heart hopes that it is great. The format also seems synergistic enough that I think if you're already in a point where you have nothing to do other than spend four mana to draw a card, the game is probably going extremely poorly for you, would be my guess.
Yeah. All right, Captain Mar-Vell, Spaceborn, is 4 and a white for a 4/4, Flying Vigilance. So we've got the second Sarah Angel of the set. And it also has Cosmic Awareness. As long as an opponent has cast a spell this turn, you may cast spells as though they had Flash. Is that good?
I don't know. I mean, especially if there's one in a black, -4/-4 running around. I mean, that's an uncommon. Oh, but
don't give me the Dies to Doomblade line here. I mean,
if I have to say right now, do I care about this card? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say garbage.
I am also going to say garbage.
Wow, that's insane, right?
Well, it's just like what I was saying to you before about how many 4-drops and 5-drops are we going to see that have no ETBs? That like there's just this could be a common like 5-mana 4/4 flyer or 5-mana 3/4 flyer. I don't know. Now I'm talking to myself. I'm like remembering Rooftop Percher, which did have an ETB, remembering Ascendant Dustbeaker, which did have an ETB. Like that kind of matters. But those were good cards and they were commons. So maybe Captain Mar-Vell is good enough. Is going to be a sleeper uncommon.
I'm staying garbage, but hear me out. If you cast enough creatures that need to survive, eventually some of them are going to start surviving.
Eventually you will untap with them.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true. It's a good point.
Next up, we've got Patriot Shield Wielder.
Oh my God.
This is 1 and a white for an uncommon 2/2 human hero, and it's got 2 tap. Another target creature you control gets +2/+0 and gains hexproof until end of turn.
This is the easiest card for me so far. This is great.
This card is great. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely not garbage. The question is, how good is it going to be or how annoying is it going to be to play against? I think if blue-white is all tricksy and whatever and teamworky and you can hold this up reliably, I think this card is as powerful as you're going to be able to hold it up reliably.
But you just kill this, which is annoying to have to do.
Correct. It's a shield bearer, right?
Yeah.
Or flag bearer, whatever they used to be called.
Yeah. I think great. I think this card's great.
Yeah.
Atuma, Atlantean Warlord, is 2 blue-blue for a 3/4 Merfolk warrior villain. Other Merfolk you control get +1/+1. And whenever one or more Merfolk you control attack a player, draw a card. Are there a lot of Merfolk in the world of Marvel superheroes?
You got me, but there are certainly not a lot of Merfolk in this set so far.
Uh-huh.
But this works with itself.
Sure.
I mean, 4-mana 3/4 Scroll Thief that doesn't have to connect to draw a card.
You love it. As soon as the phrase Scroll Thief enters chat, I know that we've got Ben on the hook. I think this card is garbage.
I also think this card is garbage. 4 mana, it's hard to cast. It blue-blue pips, has to attack, has to untap with it. If there are other Merfolk, sign me up. But I don't think there are other Merfolk. Next up, we've got Echo, Perceptive Prodigy. This is 2 and a blue for a 1/4 uncommon hero with vigilance. It's got 1 tap, copy target activated or triggered ability you control from a creature source. You may choose new targets for the copy.
You want to double Killmonger's ability when it comes in?
I would love to double Killmonger's ability when it comes in.
I'm a sucker for a 2 and a blue 1/4 as I have the Sailor of Means art somewhere in this office. But I don't know about this one.
You don't know about this one. I'm going to go great on this one.
you know, great.
I'm going to go sideways build around great.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. Next up, we have Falcon's Wing Harness. This is one in a blue for an equipment. When it enters, attach it to target creature you control. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has flying and ward 1. And it's got an equip cost of 2 in a blue.
I love equipment. I just need a gut check. When I read this card, I love it. But I also know I'm predisposed to rate equipment too highly. Give me a gut check on this.
So here's what I'm going to say to you. We've got artifact matters in the set. We've got like targeting your creatures mattering, though that's in red, white, not in blue. But, you know, there's a world where red, blue cares about it or white, blue ends up caring about it. It buffs power for teamwork. And most importantly, it auto equips. I think this card is great.
Yes. That's what I wanted. I wanted to know if I was allowed to give this a grade or not.
Yeah, you're allowed, I think.
All right. Next up, we've got Shuri, Wakandan, and Bentur, which is one in a blue for an uncommon 2/1 hero, legendary creature. Artifact spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. And you can pay 1 tap. Target artifact you control becomes a copy of a second target artifact you control until end of turn, except it isn't legendary. Activate only as a sorcery.
So this is a mana dork for all of your artifacts, and it has the Saheeli Planeswalker ability to, like, turn an artifact into another artifact?
Correct.
Okay, seems pretty great to me.
Does it? I don't know. How much of a knock is it that it's not an artifact itself? I mean, it would be insanely busted if it were an artifact.
I guess that's true. Like, whatever, back in the, was it Mirrodin? What's that? Was Ethereum Sculptor in? Maybe that wasn't Mirrodin. Anyway, but that was a 2-mana 1/2 artifact that also made your artifacts cost less. And it wasn't legendary, so you could have multiple in play. I still think this has got to be great for a blue-red deck. Like, it's a blue-red-gold card, but I think in a blue-red deck, it's great. I don't think you can knock it that much for not being an artifact itself.
I think I'm going to. I think I'm going to say this is garbage.
Wow. All right, I'm going great. That's our first disagreement. Next, we have Super Intelligence. Oh my God, of course you put this card on here. This is single blue. This is single blue for an aura, enchant creature. At the beginning of the upkeep of enchanted creature's controller, that player draws a card.
I mean, you got your Patriot Shield Wielder up. You slap a Super Intelligence on your other creature.
This is just the poster child. It's a poster child of card evaluation for this set, because it literally says, if I untap with this creature, but otherwise I do nothing. This card is garbage. This is worse. Like, I don't like curiosity cards. This is worse than curiosity.
Why is it worse than curiosity?
Because you don't get the card the turn you play this.
This is a much more flexible card than curiosity. You don't have to attack. You can turtle up. That's where you get to use extra cards.
This cannot be a good Magic card in the year of our Lord 2026.
Oh, I really like this card. I mean, it's not good. I have to say garbage, but I mean, will I be trying some Super Intelligence decks? Absolutely. Next up, we've got Wiccan, Rising Magician. This is 4 and a blue for an uncommon 4/4 flyer. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, exile another target non-land, non-token permanent, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. This is going to foil some plans.
Yeah, this seems... Oh my God.
It's going to be so tilting.
Yeah, this is a Sarah Angel that I'm interested in untapping with.
Is it? I don't know, man. Like,
rebuy, like, a 5-mana 4/4 flyer is like C+. C, maybe. It's not worse than that. You know, there's a +1/+1 counter theme. So shrinking creatures, rebuying your own ETBs.
I haven't seen many ETBs. It's all like, please let this live for a turn.
That's true. There's going to be, I think. And the ones we have seen are busted. I don't know. Flicker your Oracle of Moldiah 3/2. I guess the 2/2 cat is legendary, but if the cat died, you can get another cat. Flicker your army in a can white 3/2 that makes 2/1/1s.
I'm going to say garbage on this card, I think.
I'm going great on Wiccan.
Like, I just think those pushed white and green uncommons that we've seen just laugh at this card. Like, especially the white ones.
I know that the game is greater garbage, but don't let good be the enemy of great. Like, I do think on the spectrum, this lands on good, but it doesn't land on bad. for me.
I think it lands on fine, which I think in Magic the Gathering, the play booster era, is bad. I think fine is not good. Okay. And I think anything that's not good is bad, ergo.
Ergo garbage. All right, fine. Ronin Shadowstalker is 2 and a black for a 3/3 legendary human rogue hero. You can pay 2 life, add 2 mana of any one color, spend this mana only to cast equipment spells or activate equip abilities, activate only once each turn, and you can tap, sack an equipment attached to Ronin to have target creature get -4/-4 until end of turn, activate only as a sorcery. Fascinating.
I mean, there's a lot of text on that card for it probably doing next to nothing in the format would be my guess, except kind of cool if you're playing it alongside the U.S. agent. John Walker.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You're more interested in sacking those kinds of equipment, or if it's like equipment brings along a token, that sort of thing, like a job selectee, whatever, living weapon equipment. If there's that in the format, I think Ronin will have legs.
Yeah, for sure. If there's an equipment theme, it just seems... I mean, I guess heroes are going to have their classic iconic weapons or whatever.
But for all... like, that's all to say, does it line up? The free equip that it does, like, comes into play, you can do the free equip thing if the thing is 2 mana to equip.
So right now, it's impossible to answer greater garbage because we don't know if it can do the thing.
I'm going
to
say garbage.
I'm also going to say garbage, but...
The reason I'm saying garbage is that I feel like... it's rarely going to come together because it's not one of the themes. Like, blue-black is draw 2 cards. Black-green is creatures in the graveyard. Like, if this were in the equipment colors, if this was white, I would be much more excited about it.
I mean, this to me looks like a secret white-black-gold card.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I would buy that.
Next up, we've got the Masters of Evil. This is 5 and a black for a 5/6 uncommon villain. Other villains you control get +2/+1. And you can pay 1 and a black, discard this card, search your library for a plan card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle.
This seems great to me.
Seems great. I mean, if you've got any sort of a board when this comes down, it is very tough for your opponent.
Yeah, 6 mana, 5/6 that +2/+1 anthems your board.
Great. No notes.
No notes. Evil's Thrall is 2 and a red for a sorcery. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. Gain control of target creature until end of turn. If you control a villain with greater mana value than that creature, gain control of that creature until the end of your next turn instead. Untap that creature, it gains haste until end of turn.
Is this good?
No, I don't know. But it's cool. I like it.
Jund Sacrifice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steal your thing and then untap and play my Killmonger. I don't know. Wait, if there's a cycle of basic land cyclers, you can splash whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
In any deck.
At a cost, for sure. White currently is looking fast with a capital F to me.
Yeah, that's true. Like, how much better is this than Active Treason?
It is not, right?
Probably not. And being able to block with it is something.
But it has to be small to get it for the 2 turns, right?
Right, the thing you're stealing.
You already have to be winning if you're getting it for 2 turns.
But that's always true about Active Treason.
Sure, that's what I mean, where it's not substantially different. Like, yeah. This is juiced if it is better, but it's minor upside, I think.
All right, I agree.
Iron Fist Living Weapon is up next. This is 2 and a red for a 2/3 uncommon hero. Whenever you cast a spell that targets a creature you control, Iron Fist gains tap, deal damage equal to his power to any other target until end of turn.
I like this card a lot.
I like this card a lot, too, in the context of, like, white-red sometimes is going to get stalled out or whatever, and this gives you a very clear way to close out the game of, like, play your 2 remaining pump spells, turn this into an 8/3 or whatever, and then dome your opponent for 8.
Oh, yeah. To his power to any other target.
But we should also say, like, I mean, this can just shoot down other creatures as well.
Right,
like,
that was what I was...
Yeah. I mean, this is a very pushed card. Like, this could be in the pushed uncommons list or whatever.
But I feel like it's on a knife's edge a little bit. Like, it seems balanced to me. It's a 3-mana 2/3, so not quite what you would like for your 3-mana. It doesn't do anything when it comes into play. It's asking you to do a certain thing. Like, it's probably a red-white-gold card.
But like early in the game, this has to be answered. Like if you play this on turn three and it doesn't, and you play a non-creature spell and kill your opponent's two drop, like the game is over at that point. Like this one definitely has to be killed the turn that it comes down.
Okay, so Jessica Jones, Private Eye is next. It's 2 and a red for a 2/3. Tap, put a stunned counter on Jessica Jones. Exile the top X cards of your library, where X is Jessica Jones' power. You may play those cards this turn. This reminds me of, what was that card? Humble Defector, I think. Yep. 1 and a red for a 2/1. And you could tap to draw two cards, and then target opponent gains control of Humble Defector. Activate only during your turn. So you're basically like exchanging your creature because you're stunning it, but it's not even for that long. Like you're gonna stun it for
But what deck wants this? Is my question. Red green doesn't. Red black doesn't. It's not a villain. Red blue doesn't. It's not an artifact. Red white maybe, but it seems kind of slow and derpy for red white.
Dang it!
It's a cool card.
It is a cool card. The maybe red white wants it. Because the sort of the, like where X is Jessica Jones' power, so maybe the deal is like,
oh, that's cool.
Slapping equipment on it, and then you're like, I'm gonna draw four cards this turn cycle.
I'm kind of into that. Okay, red white.
I mean, like that card plus the Iron Fist. That's making red white look like I'll grind. Like I'm not red white heroic in the sense of. Like, yes, I'm using my creature's power, so I want to grow them, but it's not necessarily to get you dead.
That's cool. All right. I still think I'm going to say garbage? Question mark?
I think I like your take that no deck wants this. That this is a good card that might be homeless.
Next up, we've got Hellcat, Undying Vigilante. This is green-green for a 2/2 uncommon hero with haste. When Hellcat dies, return her to the battlefield under her owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on her. She loses all abilities and gains haste.
Stranglerootgeist. Back.
You have to be so green for this to be good.
Yeah, this is as good as how many forests are in your deck.
Which I think is, based on Lords of Limited Lore, not good.
But based on the cards we've seen today, I'm thrilled to jam my deck full of forests.
Yeah, like you have to be what, 12 forests before you're really happy with this card?
I was gonna say 11, but yeah, I would say over 10.
You're never like, this is not a high pick. You're just like the drafts when you end up super heavy green, you're gonna get some Hellcats as a reward and maybe play them. You are never warping your draft around this card. That is not a great card. It asks a lot of you, and you are not willing to pay the cost during the draft portion.
All right. It's garbage. Last card on our list, Reptile Dynamorpher. Single green for a 1/2. It's got two activated abilities. One, Jonah would love this card. Brontosaurus, 3 mana. Until end of turn, Reptile becomes a dinosaur hero with base power and toughness 3/5 and gains vigilance and reach. And Tyrannosaurus Rex is 6 mana. Until end of turn, Reptile becomes a dinosaur hero with base power and toughness 6/6 and gains trample.
I'm really annoyed that that doesn't say Colossal Dreadmaw as the ability.
It's true. I don't think this card is very good.
I also don't think it's very good. Very unique. I just don't know what you're supposed to do with it.
I'm very confused by it. Again, I just don't. Maybe it's just pure flavor. I'm not familiar with Reptile Dynamorpher's work, so I don't know how, like, oh, yeah, so cool.
I also am not, or maybe green was just too juiced and they had to knock it down a peg.
Yeah, it's just a lot of mana, and it only lasts for a turn. I would say garbage.
Yeah, garbage for me as well.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Dave Humphreys probably did it again, huh?
That's my current feeling, is that this format looks like a teeny version of the Lords of Limited Cube. It looks like a giant playground of please do these things. Here's lots of different things you can do. Lots of mana fixing in the land cyclers. A lot of synergistic cards. Go have fun.
Great. Sign me up.
Yeah, sign me up as well. I am very excited for early access of this format coming up. Excited for the crash course, and I'm excited to jam with what remains of summer before paternity leave and wedding for me.
Yeah, great.
All right, great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all our content at lordsoflimited.com, links to our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, our episode backlog, our merch, our Patreon page, all of that available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thanks so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.